2, verses 1 to 12.
Hi, everyone. Right, so this is page 966 of the Bibles, if you've got one, if you want to read it there. Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Just welcome Andy up to come and support us. Lord, we just thank you for the words you've put on Andy's heart this week. Lord, open us up to them, and may we see more of your glory. Amen.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was at Oldham this morning, and they send their love to you.
Bye.
Wonderful. My title is Follow the Wise Who Followed the Star. This Jesus, he's just a baby. Yet the sky changed its form as a new star appeared when this baby was born. He's just a baby. Yet the hosts of heaven sang Alleluia to this baby. Alleluia, Son of Man. He's just a baby. No, the truth is in this one. He's not just a baby. He is God's almighty son. What a wonderful way to start church at the beginning of a new year. To look again into Matthew's brief account of the Magi, or wise men. His account is one that I find fascinating and amazing, as it's a reminder for us all about the right attitude of true worship that we should have and give as we journey through life, either with the wise who follow God's star, or have we slipped a little, slipped into being a comfortable, cruising, coasting Christian, and have not noticed this has happened. Matthew's account has instructions for us. His account guides us and tells us of the right attitude that we should have of worship for our Lord and Saviour, Jesus the Christ. I have found Matthew's account fascinating because his introduction to them is minimal. No names. They came from the east, but where in the east? And how did they know what this star meant? Now, for me, Matthew is saying, don't worry or wonder or spend time on what I've not told you, but concentrate on what I do tell you and start in verse 2 with King and the Jews, and then worship. In Matthew's account, these wise men saw something special, a special star full of meaning, which they understood, telling them that a king had been born. And we know this king is named Jesus, and the name Jesus means God saves, and so we know God's king has come to save us. And these verses from Matthew, he moves us quickly into the reality of people's hearts and minds when considering things to do with God, to do with God's salvation plan or saving plan, which is all wrapped up in the present or the gift that God gives us in Jesus. So for us, it's all about the unwrapping process, the unwrapping and the opening up of God's gift to us, and then our need to unwrap the layers which stop us opening up ourselves fully to God's saving love. Unwrapping the layers of self-importance, unwrapping the layers of self-indulgence, and unwrapping our layer of self-reliance and possible rejection of God's love for us in Jesus. Now, I think Matthew is saying, look at the attitude of these guys who are wise, and then look at the people they meet on their journey to Jesus. Now, we soon see that this baby will divide people, and we will see there are two groups forming, where one group is full of welcome, praise, and worship, whereas the other group is full of indifference. Am I bothered? Rejection, opposition, and even hatred. However, God reveals important news in the skies, and he nudges these guys who are wise, and they see, and they know, and they respond wholeheartedly. They plan, they pack, and I believe with servants and guards, they start their long, long journey of worship. For their heartfelt worship is what is driving them. And they go to Jerusalem, as they would expect the king of the Jews to be born in a palace in Jerusalem. And when they arrive, they may have been surprised or confused, as there was no celebration time. Come on! There was nothing. No rejoicing. Perhaps they were thinking, what's the matter with these people? They've got a new king, but they're doing nothing about it. And so the wise men had to ask in verse 2, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Well, the Jerusalem gossip machine became red hot as the news spread that some non-Jewish visitors had come to worship God's new king. And what is also fascinating is that they're asking, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? It's actually a statement of fact that he has been born. And their question is, well, where is he? Where is your king? Herod, what a nasty man. He'd been appointed as king by the Romans, but he had no birthright to be called king of the Jews. And when King Herod, so-called the Great, hears the news, he's not happy, and boy, is he troubled. This new king is a threat to him. Herod, was ruthless, cruel, selfish, and he had many killed, including members of his own family, to prevent the risk of any of them taking his place as king. Because Herod worships himself, he is wrapped up entirely in the layers of self-importance, self-indulgence, self-reliance, and the biggest layer of all that he will not unwrap is his rejection of God. Both Herod and the wise men, for opposite reasons, need to know more. And it's Herod who knows where the answer is to be found. He assembles all the chief priests and the teachers of the Old Testament scriptures and asks them, where will the Christ be born? Well, this is fascinating. Herod knows this king is the Christ, God's chosen king. Yet he chooses to reject this Christ. The religious leaders, teachers of God's word, turn to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. They find the answer there, that God's promised ruler would be born in Bethlehem. And so now, with this knowledge, Herod's scheming develops into the darkness of deceiving and concealing his true intentions. So Herod asks questions as to how old this king would be. His idea of worship is murderous. He tells the wise men that Bethlehem is where they should go and to come back to him and tell him where this king is living. And so our wise men start the next stage of their journey with Bethlehem, about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. I wonder if these wise men are chatting and saying, oh, why hasn't King Herod come with us? Or why haven't the religious teachers, why aren't they hot-footing it to Bethlehem? Not one of them is making a move. Herod and the religious teachers know about God, but their head knowledge goes no further. It won't go to their hearts, which is a much shorter distance than 5 miles to Bethlehem. They don't know God or want a personal relationship with God's new king because they remain wrapped up in the layers of indifference. Am I bothered? Rejection, opposition, hatred. In total contrast, as we return to follow the wise, their journey with God's sat-nav star has been reinforced by God's word, which must have encouraged them greatly. For they now have more evidence that they are right. And as they make their way to Bethlehem, God acts again. He brings his sat-nav star before their eyes, and as they see it again, verse 10 tells us, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. God is reinforcing their journey of worship. Now I wonder, are you and I rejoicing exceedingly with great joy this Christmas Epiphany time? Or has the accounts of Christmas and Epiphany about the sentence, Mary the Virgin, yet with child, Jesus, Bethlehem, Emmanuel the Christ, Messiah, stable, inn, manger, angel, shepherd, sheep, and not a donkey in sight, star, wise men, Herod, Joseph, dreams, gold, frankincense, myrrh, God's word, and his promises coming true for you and for me, is this account of what happened so familiar to us that truth has become more like notices on a notice board, which aren't truly noticed anymore? And I wonder if you or I have slipped or drifted and have lost some of the wonder, some of the joy of having a personal, worshipping relationship with God through our faith in Jesus. Perhaps we have some unwrapping to do. Perhaps we need to ask ourselves, is my worship anything like these wise men? Perhaps our hearts could do with a faith checkup. And as we return to follow the wise, God's sat-nav star brings them precisely to where Jesus is. God has guided them all the way. And what do they do when they come face to face with Jesus? They bow down and they worship him. What a contrast to Herod and the religious leaders. And what a remarkable example these wise men are for us today. They meet Jesus as a toddler. He's done nothing yet. No preaching, no teaching, no healing, no feeding of thousands, no calming of storms, no bringing people back to life, and yet they worship him. And they're under no pressure to worship a toddler with just Mary and Joseph present. Their faith, their insight, their understanding, their wholehearted searching, their joy, their welcome and worship of Jesus has been unwrapped. And they have opened themselves up to God's gift. And these guys, who are wise, brought and opened their gifts to Jesus. And they also left enriched themselves. And their obedience to God continues 100% as they reject Herod's wishes. These wise men have reminded me of a verse in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, which says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." I've got a couple of presents here. You can't take them home. I'm going to pass them down. Have a quick look. Don't show anyone. And then pass it on. Okay? But don't get too excited.
These are the kids. I'm going to close with a prayer, please. It's a prayer from Bishop Richard of Chichester. Almighty and merciful God, who calls your people to yourself, we pray that we may see your Son, Jesus Christ, more clearly, love him more dearly, and follow him more nearly, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.